Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, what a blessing it has been to come into thy house of worship this day. And Lord, thou hast brought us together for a afternoon service, O Lord, where we can read from thy word and learn of thee. Lord, speak mightily to each of our hearts. May each of us, O Lord, yield our hearts to thee so that thy presence would be felt by each one of us, and that thou, Lord Jesus, would be the one to instruct and teach us, and that we would just yield our lives unto thee and find the blessings that come. So bless us this afternoon, O Lord, we beseech thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I've chosen to read for this afternoon's meditation from Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. Tridesetti četvrti psalam sa Božjom pomoći da se pročita. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. May God bless this. Dear ones, the Psalm of David that we read here is taking place. He writes this when he is in the cave. He writes this after he had made a complete fool of himself. David, who we know had, he himself said, "The Lord saved me from the paw of the bear. The Lord saved me from the paw of the lion. And the Lord will save me from the hand of this Philistine, Goliath." And this same David who picks up stones from the brook, he slays Goliath, who is from Gath. He slays him. And from that moment in David's life, Saul King Saul became insanely jealous towards him and sought to kill him. He pursued him. He had his band of men that pursued him relentlessly. And David was on the run nonstop. I looked up one time, I think it was about a 15-year span from the time that he slew Goliath to the time that Saul died, that David was on the run. And David got weary. David got weary. He always trusted in God. He trusted in God at all times, and the Lord always delivered him. And he got weary. And he started to resort to his own, looking to himself. And he chose a horrible path. He decided that he was going to run to Gath. To Gath, where Goliath was from. You don't have to be a prophet to predict what's going to happen to him in Gath, where the Philistines know. They hear the songs that are being sung about David. They know who this David is. And they want nothing more than to lay their hands on him. He flees to Gath to escape Saul. He took matters into his own hands. This is human wisdom. This is what he thought would be the right thing to do. To escape Saul, he's going to go where Saul can't get him. But he goes where they're seeking him. And he became skewed in his thoughts. Why? Because he looked to himself. And when we look to ourselves, we're going to make some awful, awful decisions, as David did. So he goes to Gath, and immediately, what happens? They say, isn't this? And he brings Goliath's sword with him. This is after he had gone to the priest Ahimelech and lied to him in a short order, three or four straight lies he told him, and got a hold of the sword of Goliath, and he has it with him as he enters into Gath. And they quickly realize this is the one that killed Goliath. And now, David realizes what he did. And he acted like he was crazy. He acted like he was out of his mind. And he must have done an incredible job of acting, because the king, or the leader, Achish, was so disgusted with him, he said, drive him out of my sight. Get him out of this land. And it is now that he has been driven out of the land of Gath that he goes to this cave, the famous cave of Adullam, in the Adullam, and he goes there. And his band of men gathered together with him. How this all happened, they came together. And he is in the cave here that it tells us that he sits down and he writes this psalm. In the first half of this psalm, we could see it's a song. The second half is a sermon. He gathers his band of men together and he preaches to them. The first half is all about the grace of God, and the second half is all about the government of God. And he gets his people together and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And dear ones, I think we can look at David. David, who, this is written, the accounts of what he has gone through. This is a man who, as a young child, he was anointed to be king at the age of, 15 or 16 years old. And he was supposed to be a king. He knows that. And Saul, the king, is after him. But he never takes it into his own hands. Though given opportunities, he never took it into his own hands to slay the king so that he would become the king. He's the anointed one. He's going to be. But he never took that into his own hands. And later he says, the evil shall slay the wicked. Not him. The righteous aren't going to slay the wicked. The evil one will slay the wicked. He said, I'm not going to do those things. But we see when he put himself where he's encouraging now, trust in the Lord. Now, and what does it mean for you and me to trust in the Lord? Like, we all will say, yes, I trust in the Lord. Well, what does your life look like? What does my life look like that I can surely say my trust is in the Lord? Saul had, David had a javelin thrown at him twice by the king. Twice. He was pursued nonstop. He trusted in the Lord. He did not take things into his own hands. And when he did, we see what kind of mess he got into. And he became an actor. And we have to ask ourselves too. The brother mentioned in the sermon this morning, he said something along the lines of, you know, do we only want to portray ourselves in a way? Or are we truly that way inside? And you know, we can really marvel at the job that David did as an actor here. He was probably the most wanted man in Gath. And he gave himself to them. And they were so disgusted with him that they sent him away. I mean, he put on an act. And you know, today we know that actors get paid a large sum of money to act, to portray themselves as something that they're not. And are we actors also? Is there any part of your life or my life that is an act? To disguise the real me, because I don't want you to see the real me. So I'm going to act. It's important for you to think of me a certain way to me, so I'm going to act that way. And we're actors and actresses. And it tells us here, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. That is a terrific thing to hear about God. When our hearts are with him. Our hearts. Not my profession, not what I say, not what I act like. When my heart is with him, the eyes of the Lord are on me. They see me. Praise God. His ears are open to my cry. I cry to the, who do I cry to? To the Lord. Why? Because I trust him. But what a terrifying thought. The next verse says, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. What a terrifying thought it is that the Lord hears me and my heart is not right with him. When I am an actor, when I am an actress, when I want to pretend, but the eyes of the Lord are always upon me. They see me when I'm righteous. They see me when I'm an act. And my trust is not in him. And so, where is our trust? You know, there's many things in our lives that you might have absolute victory over. A sin doesn't tempt you a bit. And you're gonna so quickly judge someone else who does that. That's wrong. Meanwhile, we might be hiding something else. And if we have sin in our life, you know, it's easy probably for most of Christianity, most, to have a resentment towards the he, him, this pronoun movement now. She, her, him, stuff like that. We can easily say, yes, no, that's evil, what's going on. No problem. Wrong. I have no problem identifying evil. And yet I might be a closet drunk. I might be partaking of alcohol where it is in excess. And I'm going to stand up against that he, her, him stuff. But mind your own business if I'm drinking too much. I'm not going to let you know. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to hide those things. But the Lord is, it says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So is there something, and it doesn't have to be, we can say, well, you know, you just named a couple things that I disdain alcohol too. That's fine. What is it that you don't disdain? What sin is it that is okay? It's okay with us. Is it gossip? Do we know what gossip is? He hears. God hears those things. You're going to portray someone in a bad light so that you look good. Portray yourself. You say, brother, you know what I am? You know what I do? And you know what? Why are we so, oh yeah, yeah, tell me. What did he do? What did she do? Yeah, tell me. Why? When all of us can so easily go back to the day of our promise and we hear our promise that we made, we will go to such. So if someone comes to me with only the thought of how bad someone is, I say, well, let's go talk to this person. Let's go talk to them. Come on. Let's go. Oh, no, I'm not going to go. Why not? Why are you coming to me, but you won't go to them with me? Let's unravel this. Let's straighten this out. And so we can have that. But I am going to be very judgmental, very, very okay in my own eyes. I'm an actor. Just like David was an actor here before Achish. And so David gets his men together and he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He's telling his band of men, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. There's nothing that you and I have in the way of wisdom that is ours that we can magnify the Lord with. The only way you can magnify the Lord, the only way you and I can magnify him and exalt his name is what David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. When? All the time. When? All the time. In other words, you and I are ready to speak about him, to speak about his greatness, his love. You know, how many times do we hear, I hear it many times in my day, oh, God is so good, this happened, God is so good. And that's a beautiful thing to say. But I always tell them, God is always good. God is good when I hear I have cancer. God is good when I have a death sentence. God is good when I'm in prison. God is good when I'm in the stocks, just like David was in the, immediately he got put in the stocks. They found out who he is. God is still good. God is always good. Are we speaking about, because that's the only way we can bless the Lord. How are you going to bless him other than speak about him, about his goodness, his salvation, his mercy, his compassion, and his government. His government, his holiness. He says, I will bless the Lord when? All the time. All the time. His praise shall be continually, where? In my mouth. I will continually speak. You know, when we do that, I'm going to put away those things that I've allowed in my life. I'm going to put those things away because they don't mix. Blessing the Lord and living in sin doesn't mix. It can't go together. So unless it's all the time, unless it's continually, it doesn't matter. It's for nothing. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David says in Samuel, he says, he was extremely terrified before Achish. He wasn't terrified with Goliath. He wasn't terrified with a bear. He wasn't terrified with a lion. He's terrified in Gath. He delivered me from all my fears. It was in that moment when he was acting crazy. It was in that moment when he realized what he did. It was in that moment that he turned to the Lord. And he said, the Lord delivered me from my fears. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. He's in Gath. They hate him. Most sought after man, they let him go. Why? Because he looked to them. He looked to the Lord. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. They look unto him. So David is telling us, look unto him. You know, when a little child looks unto his mom, looks unto his dad, there's an expectation. There's deliverance. Mom is going to help me, no question. When a child looks to his mom or dad, or looks to his sibling, uncle, whoever, you look to them, you're looking with a hope. You're looking with a confidence. You're looking with knowing there is deliverance. David says, look unto him. And you're going to be lightened. And your faces are not going to be ashamed. When you look unto him, the Lord himself, who will deliver and not leave you ashamed. David is shamed what he did and how he acted before Achish. Gone is his testimony that he said, who is this Philistine that he's going to defy the armies of the living God? Who is this man? He had a testimony. He could speak of the confidence and the trust that he placed in God with no fear. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Did God look at him and say, you fool, all this time I've been with you. I've saved you from Saul. I've saved you. I've saved you all these times. You go out. You lie to Ahimelech, and you cause the priest to be murdered, and 85 priests were murdered because of your actions. This is on David's conscience. This is all on him. He knows what he did. He heard that they were killed. It's because of what he did. And we look at David, and we look at his life, and it's left for us to just look at and scrutinize. And we can look at him and just say, how? And this is the thing that we don't understand. We look at Saul also of the New Testament and what he did with the church and persecution that he did. In his conversion, and God said, he doesn't know what what great things he must do for my name. I will show him those things. Why did God pick David? Why did God pick Apostle Paul? They had some things on their conscience. They were forgiven. But we can see Paul always worried about the church in Jerusalem. He knows he made countless widows. He knows he made countless orphans in Jerusalem. And he always looked to send something to Jerusalem. It doesn't mean he wasn't forgiven. He was forgiven. But those things stay with you. Sin, the effects of sin continue on. Though we are forgiven. And so David is urging us, you've sinned? I did. Turn to the Lord. He will forgive you. His mercies. When we look at David, what his life was like, David says, I turned to him. And he put away all my fears. His fear of death. His fear of separation. It's all gone. He knows that man would never forgive him what he did. Man who sometimes thinks that we have more mercy than God does. We might sometimes feel that we would forgive some certain things or whatever, as if we had more love than the God who gives us breath and the God who died for us. And so David, he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know, we're in this, we don't understand this. We don't understand this. Because this is a spirit world that he's speaking of here. But it's given for us to know. And Apostle Paul talks about spirits, powers in high places, evil angels. If we could see them, they're all around us. They're everywhere. Evil, just on us. It's there in high places, wickedness. It's all around us. We don't see them, but they're there. But we also see here that there's an array of angels in battle form. In battle array to protect you and me. And above all, there's the Lord Jesus himself. Do we see him? Do we see this wonderful array of mercy and love and strength and hope and everything good there to help you and to help me? Do we see those things, or is it lost on us? And it can be very easily, because we get comfortable with acting. We get comfortable with hypocrisy. We get comfortable. Why? Because we become proudful. It takes humility. David is humble to the core. He's humble to the core here. He knows what he did. But he sought the Lord. And he's telling us through this, seek the Lord. And he tells his men. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust him? I'm speaking to myself and to you, my brother and my sister. Do you trust the Lord? When do you turn to your own devices? Oh, I got to take this into my own hands. Okay, I got to do this. I need to show this brother what he did. When I need to do something, just stop. Sit down, pray. Kneel. When we want to do something, just kneel. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's nothing you need when you fear the Lord. Why? Because God is good. Because he says here, O taste and see that the Lord is good. And the most amazing thing that when we read about the crucifixion of Jesus, who is it that is being crucified? The one who is good. Who never had a cross word for anyone. All he did was good. And they hated him. Why? Because he showed man who was religious, who was acting. He showed them, you're acting. I know your heart. Can you say you love the Lord as you act that you serve him? The Pharisees did. They loved God. And they acted. And they had a great act. But the Lord saw through them. And he said, woe unto you. Woe. Woe, woe, woe unto you. He gave the woes. And so David is telling us, fear him. You're not going to want anything. Lions are lacking. Maybe he hears the lions, the young lions from the cave, roaring out their hunger. He said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You're not going to have a need for anything because God is good. Seek him, as the Bible tells us, and all these things shall be added unto you. What? Oh, a big mansion, a great new shiny car. No. What? Those are the things that you and I want to pursue when we think highly of ourselves. When we think highly of ourselves, we pursue things. And imagine creating a lifestyle for yourself that you would cause a young man or a young lady to look at you with envy. Who's at fault here? In God's eyes, who's at fault? I worked hard for what I did. You created something in your lifestyle that causes someone to envy. A lifestyle that you live. Where Jesus teaches us what it means to be modest. To be modest. That doesn't talk about just strictly what perhaps we like to focus on, dress. Of course, dress is so important, but it's a lifestyle. To cause a young man to sin, I've caused an offense, and Jesus says, woe unto him that causes that offense. It doesn't have to be because you lied to him. It doesn't have to be because you did something really crazy or sinned something or told him it's okay to do that. Your lifestyle showed him it's okay to be immodest. It's okay to dress immodestly. It's okay to act immodestly. It's okay to pursue the riches of the world where we can see now, perhaps if we just open our eyes, what Jesus says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Look at the evil that is taking place in the world. What is it all about? The love of money. That's what it's about. And do we create by our houses and our vehicles and the things that we, our lifestyles, or just, let's say you can't afford it, but you crave it and you're envious. It's the same thing. We're deep in sin. We're deep in sin. Our trust is not in him. Our trust is in ourselves. We didn't even get to the sermon that he says, come. He gathers them together. He says, come. Come, you children, hearken unto me. Listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I who have messed up, I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loveth many days that you may see good? What's he say? Keep your tongue from evil. Watch what you say. I said a lot of nasty things in front of this Achish. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Watch your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil. Stop cussing. Stop talking things that no big deal. Don't watch your tongue. Because how can your tongue be employed to speak evil if you're blessing the Lord continually? You can't. It doesn't mix. It doesn't mix. Jesus says you will either hate, you're going to hate one and love the other. Who do you love? The one who is good, or do you love the evil that is hovering all around us, pressing upon us? The evil that is in them. And he says, depart from evil. So he's telling us, watch your tongue, watch your mouth, watch your words, watch your ways. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. Watch what you're doing. Seek peace. Pursue peace. Not, I'm never going to talk to him again. I'm done with him. Really? Why? Is God done with him? Is God done with you? Because if you're done with someone, I'm done. Are you done with God? Because God, David is saying, depart from evil. Do good. Did Jesus leave David? You would have, and I would have. I'm done with him. Look what he did here. 85 priests are dead because of him. He says, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil. We read that. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. What a beautiful. He's telling these men, this is how this camp is going to be governed from now on. God is to be feared. God is to be loved. God is to be blessed. God is to be praised. He is to be exalted. Everything is about God. Nothing more about me. Nothing more about us. It's all about God. He says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. David's heart was broken for what he did. And he saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. Is there a man that can be proud and be saved? David says here, who has a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord is nigh unto him. He's right there. He's right with you. He's not with you when you're proud and mighty and exalting yourself. And you know, these words that David wrote, the Spirit of God, spoken by David through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God again picks up these words and gives them to Peter, who says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Listen to what he's talking about here. Refrain your tongue from evil, your lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Whose prayers? The ears are open unto their prayers, over the righteous prayers. Well, how does God hear my prayers then, if I'm not righteous? Well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. What's there to answer when I willfully will go sin? Lord, forgive me, I'm going to sin. Lord, forgive me, I'm going to sin. We comfort ourselves. We comfort ourselves through the goodness of God, and we ignore his government. We ignore his holiness. Because it doesn't mix. And we know that. So we speak about God is so good. I just did this. I just got this. I got a raise. God is so good. Always. Let's not forget that part. And he says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. So he's speaking about suffering. God is good. we are suffering for his name, God is still good. God is with me. God will see me through that. And he says, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of that hope, of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Speak with meekness and fear, and you will bless the Lord. You will exalt him when you speak of the hope that you have in him. Having a good conscience. That conscience, brothers and sisters, needs to be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. It can only be done through repentance, as David did. Repent and see that the Lord is good. David is encouraging you and me, brothers and sisters, you, my dear friends. He gathered this band of men together and says, this is the government of the camp. This is who our God is. I made a fool of myself. I'm ashamed of who I was, but no more. And he goes on and he finishes and says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We see that in the book of Hebrews, in the heroes of faith, as it's called often, of who God delivered, who he didn't deliver. God is still good. He says he saw them through. He delivered them, all of them. How did he deliver the one who was sawn asunder? He delivered him. He kept his faith. He kept his faith. He didn't renounce the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He exalted him by giving his life for him. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Do you hate the righteous? Is there someone who is better than you? You see him as a good man, good Christian, good person, good, and you disdain him? They that hate the righteous. And you know, it's happening. A true Christian will be hated. You say, well, how can that be? Well, how was Jesus hated? How could anyone have hated Jesus? Well, Jesus says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If the world loves you, be careful. Be careful. You're not right. If the world loves you, you're not right. Because the world hates Jesus. And he says, they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. What a promise. Do we put our trust in him? May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.